You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Welcome to episode number 88 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. With me, I have Dustin Gawker. I have Adam Candy. You should follow them on Twitter if you don't already, at Dustin Gawker, at Adam Candy. That is two E's, no Y. And, you know, pity follow for me at Matt Brown M2. Of course, wherever you're getting this, if you go in, subscribe, rate, and review, we do appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, wherever your podcast is listening. We really do appreciate you helping us climb those charts and helping more people find this thing as well. We have we will talk what's going on in the states that just launched. We talked about last week that we were going to have a couple of new states joining the fray here. So we'll talk about those, some updates from there. Of course, we have to hit on New York because we do every single week. We'll talk about a couple of new bills and a hearing as well. But first, let's kick things off here, Dustin. A couple of purchases of DFS companies by companies that we know are trying to make a big push in the sports betting landscape here. So, you know, we know that somewhere along the way we had speculated, you know, way back before even, you know, PASS was repealed, that we were talking about that there was going to be, you know, these DFS companies, maybe the value lied in those email lists, their customer bases, the ability to cross sell. And so when you look at these couple of acquisitions, you know, certainly not major players within the DFS industry by any stretch of the imagination, but they've been around for a while. They probably make a little bit of money and over that time have probably accumulated pretty good email lists.
Yeah, in some ways, you're right, absolutely right. This makes sense. But in some ways, it feels like we're back in 2015. Like we had a day where the news cycle in our world was daily fantasy sports companies being invested in or acquired. So we have, first off, we have Bally's, which is, we've talked about them a bunch of times. They are looking to get into sports betting in a real way. Old Twin River Holdings, they are looking to create a sports betting brand in the U.S. So what they did, they acquired Monkey Knife Fight. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with them, but they are not quite a traditional daily fantasy sports site, but use daily fantasy sports in a way to serve the U.S. a little bit differently than DraftKings and FanDuel. They acquired for $90 million in stock. That is a big number, but especially just for the existing database, they have some users. They said 180 registered users, 80,000 depositing players in North America, but they're generally considered the third largest operator outside of those big two. But the big thing here is DFS being used as a placeholder for other states, right? We always come on here and talk about the four biggest states don't have online sports betting: New York, Texas, California, Florida. This is a way to serve those states and to build that database. So if you're a true sports betting company, you're not DraftKings and FanDuel, you don't have a great way to acquire those customers. Maybe arguably if you're Barstool, you do, and you'll have those customers when you go live. But that's the play here, and that's why you're seeing this. And on top of that, we saw Caesars announce a quote unquote strategic investment in another daily fantasy sports platform, Superdraft, which is probably not as well known, but has been around for a while and has been trying to grow its user base. But this is Caesars and William Hill, which they work with, trying to build that database and then serve states where you can't just go open up sports betting. So it's certainly interesting to see all of this and happen in a short time frame. It really underscores how big of a deal Flutter got when it acquired FanDuel. People are probably kicking themselves for not buying DraftKings pre-PASPA or even in the wake of PASPA. But daily fantasy sports is the way to acquire customers kind of on the cheap and before you can serve a state, because there's no other great way. And we see Fox Bet with its free to play Super Six game or something like that. But a lot going on here. I'm sure we're going to see some more M&A, and we're going to see more folks try to use this this technique to get ready for sports betting and further out in larger states.
Yeah, the interesting thing about the Super Draft side of things is they had actually just had another deal announced just in the, a couple of weeks ago as well. Brandon Adams, another person that I'm sure if you're familiar with the gambling space, he's basically played at the highest stakes of everything, the highest stakes poker games, highest stakes DFS, highest stakes sports betting as well. His company, Advanced Sports Analytics, had bought SuperDraft, and then this deal comes through as well. So a sharp guy that basically I think is probably kind of banking on the sports betting side of this more than the DFS side of things as well. So it was just very, very interesting couple of weeks for SuperDraft with all that. And Adam, with this merger and acquisitions that have been going on, and with the things that, we expect to continue to happen, as we saw in the poker world, as we saw in the DFS world, we imagine it will happen in the sports betting world as well. Brad kind of speculated over at LSR with just some thoughts on everything that's going on in that M&A space.
He did. And I think he summed up the feeling that a lot of us have, but he confirmed it with a lot of people in the space, which is that the gold rush is far from over, and the approach of gold rush is far from over as well for not just companies like Monkey Knife Fight and SuperDraft, but for much larger entities as well. Most of the major media deals that were out there to be done are done, but at the same time, there are companies that like with the ones we just mentioned, who are basically very large databases, right? Like, that's it. You're buying a database. You hope you can convert it. That's it. I'm sure there's probably not even much of a consideration to the product or what it is in the long run, because it's not going to matter in the end. By the time you're just basically trying to pluck those customers and bring them over to a more lucrative vertical in sports betting. So, I think Brad's article is absolutely worth a read, where he talks about the valuations that are out there and just how they've been soaring, and how folks in the Wall Street space, who are obviously getting quite a bit of attention here today when it comes to GameStop and such things, are looking at the sports betting industry.
I'm glad you brought that up, Adam, because this is actually going to be my last podcast. I'm now worth nine figures due to all of my GameStop tradings here over the last few days. So I was actually going to announce it towards the end of the pod, but I'll just go ahead and do it right here at the top.
I thought you would just manage to get your hands on a PS5 and put it on eBay.
It was, man, this, yes, the GameStop stuff is something else. Dustin, before we move on here, I think this also kind of goes to show we wondered, what is the path for people who want to get into the space? They're coming in from behind the major names in DraftKings, major name in FanDuel and BetMGM and stuff like that. So you have a Bally's, and at least this, they at least are kind of illustrating one way to go about getting in, even starting from behind. They go in, they don't try to develop their own stuff. They just buy BetWorks. They go in, they're going to buy Monkey Knife Fight, most likely one, as you mentioned, entry into these states that don't have legalized sports betting as it is right now, and also a portal to a pretty big and what we assume to be fairly robust email list into the states that do have legalized sports betting. We know with the there was an article from Sports Business Journal today about the rebranding of all of the Fox Sports regionals to Bally Sports, and there will be content that is put on those networks as well. So basically, where I'm going with this is you can play from behind if you just want to come in and spend a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, Bally's is at least they're efforting that, right? They're trying to get there. Touch on the old Fox Sports networks, now owned by Sinclair, are being rebranded. They were rebranded today as Bally's. So you're going to start seeing that if you have used to have the Fox Sports regional networks. You're now going to see them branded as Bally's. And that's, you know, that's
and pretty good coverage, actually, in amongst the states that do have legalized sports betting. I mean, they're not in the Northeast, but they're all over the Midwest. They're in the South as well. Well, we know Louisiana will be coming online fairly soon. Mississippi is already there with legalized sports betting. And so like they actually have fairly decent coverage as well in the states. I mean, Iowa, Illinois, they're across the Midwest with those states. So, you know, it could be fairly interesting to see what they get going over there.
Yeah, but it is the example of the will that you're going to have. Like, you know, we still have operators just coming in and like opening up the doors and saying, we're going to have the best prices. That ain't going to work. I tell you that. I'm sure some of you are probably listening to this. You got to do something else. You're not going to just win by saying, we have the lowest VIG. That's not the path to, you know, competing with DraftKings and FanDuel. It's great on sports betting Twitter. It is great with some high volume and large customers. It is not the way to get into the hearts and minds of sports bettors across the country, even though, you know, maybe converting some of the offshore sports bettors as well. But so, yeah, I mean, it's an example of the will. You got, like, they go buy a platform. They go, you know, do this deal so that their name is synonymous with sports in several different regions. Like, that's what you have to do right now, or you hold tight. Like, you know, the other side of this is like a Bet365, which we don't end up talking about. They have largely sat tight and are biding their time. We have seen anecdotally that they have raised the amount of marketing that they're doing, at least in the Northeast where they have a New Jersey sports book. But yeah, I mean, you want to come in and compete with the, you know, what we see right now is the big four, big two, FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, and Barstool in some order. Those, like, that is the will it takes right now to lead in the U.S. sports betting market. And you're going to have to somehow match that in some way in terms of eyeballs or money or what have you to really make a market.
Adam, we were here last week. We were talking about we were days away and actually hours away from the launch of two new states kind of joining the fray here. And what are the updates from Virginia and Michigan as they have gone online?
Fairly robust traffic is what we've seen. Virginia just today got its way all the way up to 4 sports books available. DraftKings following FanDuel. Of course, FanDuel had the deal with the Washington football team that allowed them to get in first. And then DraftKings followed today by BetMGM and BetRivers getting into the space. We don't know more than that because, as we discussed last week, the Virginia lottery has been very secretive. They've had 25 applicants for what we think could be as many as a dozen sports betting licenses. There's a bill to try to make that even more than that now, maybe more like 17, depending on major league franchises in addition to the Washington football team, et cetera. But for now, what we know is that a dozen licenses, 4 of them are accounted for. They're just sort of trickling out there. Robust first weekend. And Michigan, we know, now has launched with 10 sports books where they opened the door and threw it all out there at the start. And both states are seeing some big opportunities for free bets and bonus offers and match bets and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, it was. I actually did a little just recon work of my own, just reaching out to people that on Twitter and other things like that, as far as people that lived in Michigan. And I was like, hey, can you guys just, you know, shoot me over some of the stuff that you're getting, some of the stuff you're seeing, some of the stuff that's going on. And it would be a dream scenario for me, Adam. I'm not even going to. And Dustin, you know, as well, this is I should have got on a plane. I should have gone up there. I should have just rented a hotel room and stayed there for a week, because everything that I'm hearing coming out of up there just sounds like a gigantic, wonderful place that everybody that's ever bet on sports should be.
Well, when we say that if you are so inclined, there are thousands of dollars of free money available to you, we're not exaggerating. Like, that's not some, you know, Price is Right sort of a new car. No, like, you really have all of this available to you in free bets and match bets if you live in one of these states that are highly competitive for customers right now.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. That's not really what we do here. If you're interested in that stuff and live in Michigan, you can head over to our sister site, The Lines. But it's just unbelievable what's going on up there. I had people sending me different commercials, different print ads. They were billboards and all kinds of stuff. It just seems absolutely amazing. So enjoy Michigan. It is something that you're only going to get to go through one time. What about what do we get from Entain, though, Adam? I mean, in this whole deal, whenever we're talking about the launches in these states.
I thought the most interesting part of the stories about this last week were the outgoing CEO of Entain. It's important to keep in mind the outgoing CEO of Entain saying that BetMGM is poised to, quote, dominate the Michigan sports market. Okay. I mean, that's one way to look at it. And look, if there's any state where we think where BetMGM can make a push, it's Michigan. They have a retail presence. They are starting on level footing with everybody else. They have their marketing machine ramped up to a point that they didn't last year. I thought the interesting part, though, of the outgoing CEO of Entain, the company that just rejected a takeover bid from MGM, saying this, is that it kind of keeps alive a tradition that we've seen, because Entain previously was GVC. GVC saw Kenny Alexander leave not all that long ago, basically saying the same kind of thing on the way out the door, that they expected to significantly up their market share. And we're still kind of waiting on that from MGM. Not to say that it can't be done, but I just thought the parallel was interesting.
Yeah, it was. And as you mentioned, I mean, not only the presence there in Michigan, but there's an MGM Grand in Detroit. It is one of their flagship. I mean, they are very, very proud of that property there in Detroit. And then they also built the thing, you know, right from the get-go with the thought that there was going to be sports betting and they were going to try and have, you know, a nice sports betting presence. They, you know, from a physical standpoint, of course, we're more worried about what's going on online. But I mean, they even built that casino with, you know, a sports betting lounge. It's got six different betting windows, 60 televisions, 22 different kiosks, self-betting kiosks that are located throughout the casino and things like that. So, I mean, this was certainly, you know, something that they prioritized as they were, you know, putting that casino on the map up there and everything. So very interesting to see. And we'll certainly be following how they do in Michigan as well. That first batch of numbers is going to be pretty awesome when those do come out. Dustin, we are obligated. It is in our contract that we must talk about New York every single podcast. So let's go ahead and talk about New York.
Yep. I'll say we're pretty much where we're going to be that way a lot of times. There's still there's hope that the New York sports betting will appear in the budget, that legislators and Governor Andrew Cuomo will find common ground. We are pretty much still at a standoff and not exactly sure where that's going to go. What we did learn this past week is a study that was commissioned in New York to explore all sorts of types of gaming expansion in the state, including downstate or New York City casinos, came out. And this is where we thought at one point that the idea of a monopoly that Cuomo has put out there would have come from this study, which we had not seen, but we knew had been written and probably existed. And it just came out, and we learned that this was not what was in that study. It did not consider or contemplate a monopoly where New York has one operator and does that. So it contemplates what has been floated in the legislature for a long time, which is both commercial casinos and tribal casinos or some combination thereof, of having online betting and partnering people and what that looks like and how that would provide revenue for the state. So we have that, and then it sort of becomes a little less clear of why Governor Cuomo decided to say, oh, we're going to have we want to keep all the money and more of the money and not have this kind of model that we've seen pretty much everywhere else in the United States. So it's interesting to see. It's it still comes up with a lot of money in operator revenue, less money than Cuomo would like in terms of tax revenue. But the hope here is that everybody gets together and at some point everybody says, we're going to find some way to get this done. We need to create this incremental revenue so that we don't have to cut other programs or what have you, and that New York will figure this out. Now, I don't know if we'll handicap that as a favorite, but it is still in play right now.
At least there are all sides talking about it now and not just the guys who have been behind it the whole time, right? At least it is becoming more omnipresent there in New York, as opposed to just a couple of guys that we had mentioned just multiple times on the podcast throughout the course of the last couple of years as to being, you know, an advocate of something like this. We do have more people joining the conversation.
Yeah, and just having Cuomo like in the discussion, that's new. Before, we've kind of just always kind of thought he didn't want it. And he was going to be the roadblock. He was why we didn't see it moving in the assembly. And now he's at least engaged on the subject. Again, the rubber meets the road where Cuomo stands. What will he say? Does he have room to move off his position, or is this locked in stone and we can't possibly move off doing it the way he was. If there's an opening for multiple operators, and you know, we've parsed, gone down the parsing the grammar of what he's proposed, then like maybe there's a room to have multiple operators. If it's a single operator versus what legislators are asking for, which you know helps their constituencies and the casinos that exist in the state and all the operators who want to get in, then I feel like we have a chance if we have multiple operators coming in. But if we're stuck on one operator versus 14, we're just not going to get there, is my sense, at least this year. And maybe we're talking more about a longer term answer. But you know, we're in the budget process in New York now, and we're going to see like how strict these positions are, and if there's some wiggle room to make something work here in the short term.
Adam, looking over at Connecticut, and this is a state that it seems like there is a decent amount of momentum for getting sports betting, but it seems like how to get there and where the path is to that end goal, a lot of cooks in the kitchen, and maybe this thing is going to take some turns before we can actually get there.
You know, Connecticut kind of gets a pass in the here we are again talking about it discussion because of New York, because we feel like we've been saying the same things about New York for so long, but Connecticut's not that far off. As one of the state reps mentioned at the hearing that they just had on it this week, he said, we've been having this same discussion since 2015 and had some very colorful quotes about how everybody takes their ball and goes to their corner and nobody gives an inch on it. So that's where we are at the moment with Connecticut. There's a bill that's been introduced that would allow the two dominant tribes, the Mashantucket Pequot and the Mohegan tribe, who of course operate Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, to have sports betting, not just in the casinos, but online as well. And we know the Mashantucket Pequot have a deal with DraftKings that would allow them to help facilitate that. But of course, how this all gets done is an enormous question. The tribes have been contending for years that they believe they have exclusivity to offer sports betting in the state. That's not unique to Connecticut. That has been a tribal argument via the tribal compacts in many states. What has been different in Connecticut is that the tribes have essentially said that they will stop making their slot payments to the state per their compact, and those happen to be worth many, 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 many millions of dollars. So that's being discussed at the moment. There were some discussions as well involving the lottery and some others who were saying that they need to have brick and mortar to make these things work. I mean, that, you know, that's some harebrained stuff right there. But in any case, there are more people who want to get it done in Connecticut than there have been in the past. There is a general lack of disagreement over how to do it. And if that sounds like New York, it's because it is.
We will monitor both sagas, you know, as they continue to go on here. But yeah, lots of cooks in the kitchen there, lots of different people who think that they have the right idea how to get it done. So we shall see how that all ends up. Dustin, take us home here talking about Massachusetts. This is a state that does not currently, again, have legalized sports betting, despite the fact that, you know, one of the largest gaming operators now in the space in DraftKings is headquartered there.
And as long as this feels like the roundup of states we've been talking about forever, I have been talking about Massachusetts since I've started this about with online casino and sports betting. We have a sports betting bill in Massachusetts. This, of course, is the home to DraftKings, which is now obviously not just the DFS, but an online gambling giant. So it feels like a lot of deja vu. Like I have felt that Massachusetts was going to get done for quite some time now, and that it just hasn't. And it's like, again, everybody wants it. We have casinos that should want it. We have an MGM and we have Wynn. Wynn, as we know, is making a big play with WynnBET too. So it should want this to happen as well. So, and of course with MGM and what they're doing, they are one of the three commercial casinos in the state. So it all feels like we should be getting to something happening in Massachusetts. It just hasn't before. Even the Gaming Commission has been doing studies and looking at what online casino and sports betting would mean for the state. It feels like it's time to do something or not. And we might still be not, but people have been talking about this so long in Massachusetts. And, you know, we've even had the governor, in the past weigh in. And, but, you know, as we always say with these states, it's a lot of devil in the details. And everybody could want it, but everybody wants it a slightly different way. And that ends up turning into inaction. So we've got a long time to go here in Massachusetts in terms of how it might go down. You think like a combination of DraftKings and MGM, two of the biggest players in online gambling, that, you know, eventually they muster up the will to get this done rather than the short term, rather than the long term. Like, it feels like we're not that far away from Massachusetts, but famous last words. My over under of 3.5 is the number of states that I think I put on the beginning of the year. Massachusetts would probably be key to that, to hitting that over if we're going to get there, because they're a state that's been talking about this so long and feels like the party should be interested in it. And we'll just have to see whether it actually gets done here sometime in 2021.
Adam, we just need this to get done because I need to see the regional bias on how they go about betting the Patriots every single week. We got these results out of Tennessee. Like, I was getting these results from the sports books, and Tennessee was the number one bet team in Tennessee every single week, no matter what. And we know how Pats fans are. So I need this to happen strictly to see the regional bias that will go on in Massachusetts.
You need look no farther than what's going on in New Hampshire and Rhode Island right now, and you can have that extrapolated out on a much larger scale in Massachusetts.
I mean, I just, every single week, it was Titans, 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 Titans across the board in Tennessee. It was unbelievable, so I need it to happen in Massachusetts for sure. Guys, as always, everything that we talk about here on the podcast, you can find over at LegalSportsReport.com. Go in, take a look at all of those written words by all of our very talented staff over there that Adam has is managing on a day-to-day basis. So be sure and take a look at all that stuff. It is really, really good stuff, all in detail and maybe even more detail than we get into here on the podcast. You should follow both of these guys on the Twitter machine. Dustin Gawker is at Dustin Gawker. Adam is at Adam Candy. That is two E's, no Y. And again, if you hate yourself, at Matt Brown M2, you want to give me a follow. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
Heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.